As your company scales, the hardest part isn't ambition, it's alignment. That's why Atlassian built the Teamwork Collection, an AI-powered teamwork platform designed to help teams move faster together. By connecting Jira, Confluence, Loom, and Rovo, teams can easily align work to real business goals, plan and track progress together, remove knowledge silos, and access the real magic of AI plus human collaboration. Visit Atlassian.com/teamchanger to learn more. That's Atlassian.com/teamchanger. On Masters of Scale, we talk a lot about inflection points, those moments when a technology stops being optional and starts being fundamental. AI presents one of those moments, and behind every breakthrough, whether it's medical research or education or even cinematic visual effects, there's infrastructure most people never see. As the essential cloud for AI, CoreWeave is building that foundation. It provides a purpose-built AI cloud designed specifically for pioneers at leading AI labs and enterprises, ready to power the biggest ideas and the boldest ambitions. Ready for anything, ready for AI. To learn more about how CoreWeave powers the world's best AI, go to coreweave.com/readyforanything.
Startups grow in unpredictable ways, but your infrastructure shouldn't. Deel scales with you from employee one to employee 1,000. Deel's real-time payroll engine cuts weeks-long cycles down to minutes, and their global experts keep you compliant as you expand. Plus, startups can tap into perks like up to $25,000 in Deel credits and support programs designed specifically for high-growth teams. Deel is the fastest way to hire, manage, pay, and equip anyone, anywhere. Deel, your forever people platform. Visit deel.com/MOS to learn more and book a demo.
Hi, folks. Jeff Berman here. This week, we wanted to share a conversation I had in the fall with Vinod Khosla. Vinod joined me on stage at the 2024 Masters of Scale Summit to discuss a range of issues, including one of his passions, how to scale solutions to climate change. The entrepreneur and billionaire investor is a true titan of tech. He's the founder of Sun Microsystems and Khosla Ventures, and over the past several decades, he has been integral to the success of dozens of tech companies. Vinod believes we only need a handful of dedicated changemakers to turn the tide on the global climate crisis.
You got to have incredible talent at every position.
It's like this huge push.
There are fires burning when you're going home.
Can you believe it?
Such an idiot. And then you go back to, this is totally going to be amazing.
There are so many easy ways.
I'm supposed to know what to do. I have no idea what to do.
Sorry, we made a mistake.
But you have to time it right.
Oops.
Working at a three-bedroom apartment.
Stuff that just seems absolutely nutballs. 10 years later, I'm like, well, that's just how you do it.
We haven't made
just how you do it.
This is Masters of Scale.
I'm Jeff Berman, your host. I spoke with Vinod on stage at the Presidio Theater in San Francisco back in October. We dove straight into a thesis he champions, that we need a small but mighty number of what he calls instigators to turn the tide on climate change. Will you start by telling us about your instigator thesis?
I've dealt with instigators, which are really entrepreneurs, all my life. But when I was looking at the climate problem and people kept telling me it was a very hard problem, not a solvable problem, I looked at it carefully and I said, it's a much simpler problem than people make it out to be. You only need a dozen instigators in a dozen areas. Everybody can help, everybody can contribute, but we need a dozen instigators to solve the climate crisis.
So it matters, but it doesn't matter in the grand scheme if I drive an electric car or what have you. Why a dozen in a dozen areas?
Because there's only a dozen large areas that have large carbon emissions. Now, I'm talking carbon emissions. I'm separating climate change from sustainability. To me, they're quite different things, though they're often confused.
Can you unpack how you view them differently?
Sustainability is about recycling and things like that. Green approaches, it gets mixed in with some of the wellness approaches to food and other things. But if you're strictly looking at the climate change problem, it's about carbon emissions. And there's a dozen important areas. Electric vehicles is one. Aviation fuel is another. Plant protein or proteins is another. There's only a dozen large emission areas that really matter. If we solve them, we will mostly have solved the climate crisis or the carbon emissions crisis. If we don't, it doesn't matter what else we do.
And your view is literally one instigator, one entrepreneur in each of these categories
can make a difference.
Can make a difference or can make the difference.
I hate giving Elon Musk any credit, but I do give him credit for instigating the change to electric vehicles. Without him, we would be on a very different path, dependent on General Motors and Volkswagen and Ford to ship electric cars. So he did more than, without ever being in the car business, to change the paradigm of what's accepted, and then got everybody to follow.
We contain multitudes, even Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, Pat Brown did that with plant proteins. And I think those are well on our way. They'll have up and down cycles, but I think we are well on our way to solving the protein problem. And it's through fundamental science innovation. Bob Mumgard's done that in fusion. I don't think fusion's an if question. I think 5 years from now, nobody will be debating whether fusion's possible. It'll be how fast can we implement it.
Why do you believe we'll be there within 5 years?
Just because, you know, if I looked at 2018, I think that was the year we invested in Commonwealth Fusion. By the way, also invested in OpenAI the same year. And a public transit system, three fundamental things in 1 year. I was very proud of that year. But it isn't that Bob started that company. We started it in a way where in the following 5 years, maybe a dozen, maybe 20 startups started doing the same thing. And then when there's that many shots on goal and talent and money are flowing in, which is what Bob caused to happen, and that's an instigator. So at this point, whether Bob succeeds or fails, I think the world will have fusion, because there's so many good scientific attempts.
And do you believe we have enough time to get to all 12 categories?
So I didn't speak to that issue. I do think we are well on our way in steel. I think we are well on our way to sustainable aviation fuel. And these are things most of you probably haven't heard of. But I've seen the state of development to say at this point, it's mostly engineering risk. Very often the risk is cost. But dispatchable power generation is a big one, that there's more than one approach that'll work there. And we've instigated that change. If I take these dozen areas, I'd say eight of the dozen have very good, scientifically sound efforts to develop the technology. That's the optimist in me. My bet is by 2030, most of these areas will have a solution. And then the 2030s will deploy them, build 5 plants, 10 plants. But at that point, we get to a point where we can do thousands of plants a year in each of these areas, whether it's steel or power generation or others.
I think we are now legally required to talk about AI in every conversation.
Yes.
So I'm going to not break the law here. How will AI help us achieve the 12 on 12?
Yeah. So the first thing I would say is we should be cautious about ascribing too much to AI. How many people know the NeuroIPS conference here? Raise of hands. It's sort of the go-to conference for AI, very few hands up. And I looked at last year's papers and the years before on AI and climate change, and I said none of these approaches, these efforts of AI in climate change are going to be consequential.
Why not?
just because they address minor problems. Mm. You know, building efficiency isn't a climate change problem. You can improve it 2-3%, but you're making very little progress. Unless you get to 80-90% reduction in carbon in every one of the major areas, we're not going to get there. And so I'm only looking for the 90% reductions, not the 10 or 20% improvements in efficiency or other things.
In which categories do you think AI may help us the most?
Well, so I think in the next couple of years, we'll get to an area where we have what I call, and you know, this is not an original term, AI scientists. Then you can apply a much faster rate of scientific progress in materials design, for example. We are using AI in convolved fusion to control plasma. Plasma control is a hard problem. We are using AI. Convolved fusion is partnering with DeepMind to do that. But I do think fundamentally AI scientists to get creative about new approaches in some of these areas will make a huge difference.
I want to take us beyond climate, if I may, unless there's something you want to you want to add there. Taking the instigator thesis into healthcare, for example, we have at least a couple of companies here, including Transcripta, that are using AI to discover new applications for existing drugs, to discover new drugs. How do you think about the instigator thesis as it applies to healthcare, particularly with AI helping?
And I think I would broadly say entrepreneurs cause most of the radical change. When it comes to incremental innovation, big companies are relatively good at it. And Intel can do a good job of moving from a 7-nanometer semiconductor process to a 5-nanometer process. But in the 40 years I've been doing innovation, I've only done technology-based innovation. I can't think of a single example of large innovation that was done by a large player or a large institution or a government program. But in each case, whether, I like to put it the following way. Did Amazon reinvent retailing or was it Walmart or Target? We talked about Elon Musk. It wasn't General Motors or Volkswagen. In Airbnb, you might have thought that, hey, Hilton or Hyatt would know how to do that. Or in Uber's case, you'd think somebody like Hertz will reinvent that area. There isn't a single example I can think of a large innovation that a large institution was part of doing or predictable. Now, big companies help, they pile on. Today, we are dependent on the big company, auto companies, to build EVs, but they've all switched because somebody has shown the way, and that's what instigators do. And that is happening in healthcare. Vaccines were done that way. Almost all the large innovation is happening at many levels. You talked about drug discovery. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea of drugs being designed by AI, very powerful. I think I first talked about it 10 years ago in a long piece I wrote. But every company is now getting on that bandwagon. They'll help.
And how quickly do you think we'll see the revolutionary change? Not the evolutionary change, but the revolutionary change in healthcare?
Healthcare depends on regulatory control. So that limits what we can do at the drugs level. No matter whether you have AI-designed drugs or other traditional drugs, you've got a 10-year process of getting a drug approved through the FDA. Now, there's a cheat to that that I'd love to see happen, and we are working on it. If you design a drug that's for one person, you know, today we design a drug and works for all 7 billion people on the planet, whether it's a fancy drug or a simple aspirin. And different people have different genetics, and we don't optimize for that. You could design a drug for only one person. I don't know how the FDA would handle that. We are attempting to see how that might go. Design the drugs with the help of AI for one person, one patient at a time. Much easier to do in certain classes like genetic diseases. You can do that. The other end is, and I'm very excited about this idea, it's hugely disruptive. How many people have heard of a thesis put up on AI about 2 weeks ago called AI Dystopia or Utopia?
Everyone raise your hands, please.
No, you don't have to. I postulated that all expertise will be free. So if you look up in TechCrunch, in 2012, I wrote a blog called Do We Need Doctors? Under a simple thesis in 2012, later expanded to a 100-page thesis by 2016, we won't need doctors for their expertise because AI will be the best primary care doctor. We're working on that. AI will be the best and easily scalable therapist for mental health. AI will be the best oncologist in most of these areas. By the way, it's not restricted to medicine. AI will be the best structural engineer. Mm-hmm. AI will be the best salesperson or marketing person. So almost all expertise will be near free.
Okay. The best marketing person, the best salesperson.
Yes.
I mean, that's not necessarily intuitive, at least not for me, because there's...
And there's only a dozen startups doing salespeople, AI salespeople.
So, but in each case, there are sparks of creativity. There are relational components, right? If you and I are working on a deal, there's trust that we build over time, and I'm able to ask you questions, you're able to ask me questions. We're able to work together in the best case to create a deal. Are you imagining two AI agents putting that deal together? How are you imagining that being a more efficient and effective process?
The first thing I would say is just because I can't precisely predict how the change will happen doesn't mean the change will not happen. I'm almost certain the change will happen and radical change, but it's hard to predict exactly how. So if you were to bet and know in 15 years things will be the same, I'd take 10 to odds on that with anybody.
More from my conversation with Vinod Khosla in just a minute. Hey folks, Jeff Berman here. Exciting news. Applications are now open for the Masters of Scale Summit. It's happening October 20th through October 22nd in San Francisco, and it is a really special event. Please join our curated community of founders, innovators, and leaders shaping the future. Expect ideas that challenge your assumptions and connections that move your business and maybe even your life forward. It's an experience that can change literally everything. Apply now at mastersofscale.com/apply26. That's mastersofscale.com/apply26.
While everyone was debating whether or not Bitcoin was an asset for their portfolio, CoinShares was quietly building the foundation to invest in it properly. CoinShares launched the world's first Bitcoin ETP back in 2015. Today, they manage nearly $6 billion and are profitable through multiple market cycles. CoinShares is publicly traded on NASDAQ Stockholm and announced in September it is seeking a U.S. listing. CoinShares is the one-stop shop for digital asset investment, passive ETFs, active strategies, and mining exposure. Every approach built to institutional standards. CoinShares. The adults have arrived. Learn more at coinshares.com.
AI breakthroughs are quickly reshaping every industry around the world. Healthcare, education, science, entertainment, and beyond. But true global scale only happens when the underlying infrastructure can maintain pace with the rapid speed of innovation. As the essential cloud for AI, CoreWeave is a purpose-built cloud made for the real demands of today's most complex AI models, bringing the pace, performance, and partnership leading pioneers need to continue pushing boundaries. Ready for anything? Ready for AI. To learn more about how CoreWeave powers the world's best AI, go to coreweave.com/readyforanything. Welcome back to Masters of Scale. You can find this conversation and more on our Masters of Scale YouTube channel. Next up, I asked Vinod if there are any areas where he thinks human effort will still be more important than AI.
Look, there's certain things that are not rational that make us human. And I think those categories will be categories. Look, even today, you can get a well-produced glass like this off a factory line, but I'll pay more for a handmade glass. We all do. I do. And so that's the humanness factor. We prefer certain things, and we don't have to be rational about everything in our lives. We like to think of ourselves as rationalists. I do. But there are things I prefer.
And perhaps the irrational decisions are some of the most important ones that we make.
In fact, they're some of the most important decisions. I think there was a scientist, and I won't name the name only because I haven't been able to verify it, who said, we make most decisions rationally except the most important ones. Mm. Who do we marry? That's not a rational decision. That is an emotional decision, and it should be. That's where humanity comes in and humanness comes in.
Yeah.
And I postulate in my thesis that we will have more room for humanness because we won't be occupied by the things AIs can do for us. You know, I'm a techno-optimist, but I modified techno-optimism with a simple phrase, which I use in my long, it's a 25-page essay, so not easy reading. I say, techno-optimism with care and caring. And the care part is AI safety, and the caring part is inclusiveness about everybody else. And I do think techno-optimism by itself is not necessarily good for society as a whole. It's good for the technologists. But with care and caring, I think it becomes the single most powerful tool we've ever had to move society to an era of abundance and being more human. Now, people ask me a simple question like, won't it displace jobs? Honest answer, yes. In fact, I think 80% of all jobs, so if you do the math, 65% of all jobs in 20 years can be done by an AI in those countries that choose to do so. And it'll be a country-by-country political choice. So a lot of job displacement and probably a pretty disruptive period, which I define in my essay. But today, being a farm worker, having to work in Salinas in 100-degree heat, 8 hours a day for 20, 30 years, or working on the General Motors assembly line, mounting a tire on a car for 30 years, 8 hours a day, that's not jobs. That's servitude because you need to make a living. I'm pretty certain we will have enough abundance, and I postulate GDP growth will go from 2% to 5%, and that kind of growth rate, maybe not our kids, but our kids' kids, will live in the era of abundance. And we will have enough resources to support everybody at a minimum standard of living. So people work on the things they want to work on, not the things they have to work on to support their family.
Let's end on abundance. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Vinod Khosla's version of techno-optimism is an inspiring one, and I'm so grateful he joined us at the Masters of Scale Summit. You can find a link to his essay titled AI, Dystopia or Utopia in the show notes. I'm Jeff Berman. Thank you for listening.
This is Zeb Farbman, co-founder and CEO of Lightrix, a technology company that creates AI-powered video models and tools.
Most of our research was along the border between computer graphics and image processing, and we thought that if we pair our expertise with this new platform, we will be able to create new tools and new creative experiences that no one did before.
But when the generative AI boom disrupted everything, Lightrix seized the moment with a new burst of innovation. They created LTX2, an open-source AI model enabling its users to generate high-quality video content, giving them full creative control from concept to delivery on one platform.
I think a lot of the values that we took from academia reflect how we are thinking about our models. We want them to be open. We want a collaborative environment. And we really, really care about efficiency. We always believe deep research is the key to unlocking a competitive advantage and building cool things. It's even more important during the age of AI.
Start creating today with LTX 2 at ltx.studio.
Hey folks, if you enjoyed our recent episode with my friend Matt Abrahams, the brilliant author and academic has his own podcast, Think Fast, Talk Smart. Twice a week, the Stanford lecturer sits down with experts to discuss their best advice to hone and develop your communication skills. Learn to stress less about public speaking, make more meaningful small talk, and much more. You'll always get science-backed strategies and actionable tips you can use right away. And Matt is just a fantastic guy. You're going to love having him in your ear. Listen to Think Fast, Talk Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt. My podcast, Search Engine, has a new two-part series for you. Of all the new technologies coming out of AI, the most transformative one might be driverless cars. They're already on the road in 10 American cities, and they're quickly coming to more. We tell the story of how we got here. The secret team at Google that spent 15 years building what might be the safest vehicle on the road. And we cover the fights brewing in blue cities, where unions and politicians are working to keep those cars off the streets. Listen to Search Engine wherever you get your podcasts.
Masters of Scale is a Wait What original. Our executive producer is Eve Tro. Our senior producer is Trisha Bobita. The production team includes Tucker Ligursky, Masha Makatunina, Brandon Klein, and Timothy Liu Lee. Our senior talent executive is Stephanie Stern. Mixing and mastering by Aaron Bastinelli and Brian Pugh. Original music by Ryan Holiday. Our head of podcasts is Lital Malad. Special thanks to Jay Punjabi, Jodine Dorsey, and the entire Masters of Scale Summit team. Visit mastersofscale.com to find the transcript for this episode and to subscribe to our newsletter.